Thank you very much. Open that Bible, if you will, to John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Brother Sam, if you will, ramp that thing up just as high as you can get it without the feedback. I need all the help I can get today. Last week, we began a message on God's, what I call God's revival team. And I'm sorry, this is all the volume I've got here today, so please listen closely. But I began the message on God's revival team, and we preached down through the first 3 points. But interestingly enough, it took 2 services to get through 3 points on Sunday morning, as you remember. God interrupted the preaching, blessedly interrupted the preaching, and someone stood to give a testimony, and that was the last I got to say the whole time. It was just a great moment in Crooked Creek history, a great service last Sunday. And then I came back Sunday night, and I preached 2 more points, and God did it again, kind of took over. And so I'm back here today. I'm going to preach the 4th and final point. Unless you're thinking that this is going to be a short service, think again. We've expanded it and made a message out of the 4th point, which is obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll remember where that outline came from originally. Over 100 years ago in the country of Wales, a very young evangelist named Evan Roberts preached a 4-point sermon, actually to his youth group there in his church, and very small youth group. And he said, if you want to be a part of God's revival team, in essence, he said, you've got to confess Christ publicly. You confess, number 2, all known sin. Number 3, you forsake all doubtful things. And then number 4, you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you'll do those 4 things, he said, you will not just have revival, but you will be in revival in your own heart. And so anyway, we work down to the 4th one here today. And I want you to look in your Bible, John chapter 16, and look at verse 13, if you will. Well, just to give context, look up at verse 7 first. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was not going to remain with them for the rest of a normal lifetime, but that he was going to go away. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Dear Father, I come to you now, and I pray that you would illuminate this scripture. Father, you know, and you've planned everything in advance. You know of all people that I don't have any volume. I don't have any ability to change my voice much today. And Lord, you know the importance of this message. I pray that you would give these people a special ability to hear and to listen, not just with their ears, but Lord, that they would be able to listen with their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question. When you have experienced the work of the Holy Spirit, what kind of situation has that been? When the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, when has that been? Most Christians would say, in answering that question, Well, I experienced the work of the Holy Spirit when I was lost, and He convicted me of my sin and of my need for Christ, and it was the conviction was heavy, and I knew it had to be God. I knew it had to be the Holy Spirit. And you say, okay, that's good. That's one time. When else have you experienced the work and the experienced God's Spirit talking to you? Well, they would say, well, even now, when I do wrong, when I sin, I experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He convicts me again, and frankly, I feel like a dirty dog. I feel lower than the rug. God convicts me, and His conviction is heavy on you. And you say, when else have you experienced the ministry of the Holy Spirit? The experience God talking to you, and they say, He convicts me when I do wrong. You know, it is a sad thing that most people only experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit when they do wrong. I've got good news for you this morning. God wants to do more in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to have a greater ministry in your life than just convicting you. He wants to talk. The Spirit that moved into you when you got saved wants to talk to you every day of your life. And He does not want to have just negative conversations. The Holy Spirit wants to have some positive conversations in your life as well. You know, you say, how do you know that? I know that because of His name. He is called the Comforter. Does that sound negative to you? Of course not. Comfort is a very positive thing. Literally translated, the word that is given to us here in the Greek for comforter is the word parakletos, paraclete. It basically means someone who comes alongside you to help you. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to help you do everything that you need to do. He is our helper. And you know, one requirement for that is that you learn to listen to and obey the voice of the Spirit. I ask you plainly, have you learned to listen to and discern and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in your life? His voice is like mine sometimes. It is somewhat subdued. He doesn't always shout at you. You have to learn to listen attentively to His voice. Now, you say, all right, in what areas do I need to listen attentively to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, probably the first area is to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Look down in verse 13. It says this, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will do what? He will guide you into all truth. One of the most basic ministries of the Holy Spirit, and a very positive ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that He wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to tell you those things that you need to know. You remember when the Holy Spirit was first given in Acts chapter 2 of Scripture. He came, and the Bible says that there was this sound like a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and the Holy Spirit appeared to them like cloven tongues of fire, did He to those disciples, and that those cloven tongues of fire were upon their heads, and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, the interesting thing about that to me is that when the Holy Spirit came, those men who had been there, been commissioned by God, they knew what they were supposed to do. They just didn't know how to do it. But suddenly, these men who one moment didn't know exactly what they were supposed to do, suddenly they did know what they were supposed to do. And before long, they were out in the streets preaching in all these other languages to all these people who were gathered up there in Jerusalem, and they knew exactly what to do. Now, can I ask you something? Is there some situation in your life and you just don't know what to do right now? If so, beloved, there is a simple answer to that situation. And that is to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows the answer before you know the question. And right, you know, if you look at these disciples here, at one moment they're kind of these ignorant Galileans, and then the next moment, in fact, several days later, they have started and established probably one of the most powerful churches in the history of Christendom, and it all happened in a matter of days. Did they know what to do or what? They really did. If you want to have the guidance of the Lord to show you what to do next, have to understand and learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart. Now, I want to ask you something that's very critical. Have you ever heard this little voice in your mind? I don't mean an audible voice, but heard this little voice in your mind and in your heart and recognized that as the voice of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever done that? If you have, shake your head at me. You've done that. Okay. Then you are already at least on first base, if not beyond that, because you have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, at that point, did you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, or did you blow off the voice of the Holy Spirit? That is the critical thing. You know, it's possible to do both. Last Sunday morning and Sunday night were illustrations of that. Sunday morning, I was preaching on this thing of confessing Christ publicly. And I stood here and I talked about that. I said, all right, confess Christ publicly. Well, you know what happened. This auditorium, about a third of the way through that message, just exploded. One lone lady stood up and began to give a testimony. That ignited the whole thing. And suddenly, everybody wanted to stand up and confess Christ publicly. It was an electric moment at Crooked Creek. It was a grand thing at Crooked Creek. It was a blessed time at Crooked Creek. Everybody enjoyed it. Then on Sunday night, I came back and I preached on something else. I preached on confess all known sin and forsake every doubtful thing. Can I tell you something about the view from the pulpit? The spirit of the service wasn't the same. When I was speaking on that very positive thing about confessing Christ publicly, the atmosphere was electric in the church. But when I spoke about something that dealt with the sin that God wants to take out of our lives, suddenly things were a whole lot more subdued. I thought, my, who poured cold water on this service? Now, what happened here? Now, it was more subdued there for a while. Why is that? Well, it's because when you talk about confessing all known sin, typically we human beings, we Christians, have known sins. Known sins are those things that we say, you know, I know better than to do this. I really should stop doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. That's known sin. But then, the third point was, forsake every doubtful thing. Well, doubtful things are a little bit different because you can argue about them. You can say, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. I know a lot of Christians do, a lot of Christians don't, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's all right. And you can argue about that. But God says, look, if you want to be my soldier, I want you to confess all known sin. And if you have any doubt about anything, confess that one too and forsake it. And you give something up for me. All right. Then, the fourth thing, by the way, why do we have such a hard time with that? Well, it's because confessing sin is like, it's like getting rid of fat. I stood there all that time trying to figure out if I ought to say that way or not. It's like getting rid of fat. A fighter, a boxer, has a fighting weight. His fighting weight is the weight at which he performs the best. Well, I have a preaching weight. My preaching weight is about between 200 and 205. I have the best volume then. I have more energy then. I'm 6'5", about 205. That works really good for me. But a few years ago, I topped off the scales at 210, and I began to feel it. And I would say, Bonnie, you know, I'm just gaining some weight. I'm going to have to slow down my eating. She said, yeah, probably are. And but I didn't. You know how that works. And so then it went up to about 215. And I went to the doctor, and the little nurse said, oh, you picked up a few pounds. Shut up. And then I hit about 220, and my knees started giving me problems. I have 205-pound knees. It gets up above that. My knees started giving me trouble. Then I started complaining about it. I tell all my friends, I feel like a blimp. You ever just feel that way? I feel like a blimp. And it all, when I gain weight, I gain it right here. I don't know where you gain it, but I gain it right there in my stomach. And so I got up about 220, then I hit 225. And then one day I scared 230 to death. And I finally went home. And I looked at my wife, who knows all about dieting, all about eating and food. And I said, Vaughn, I've just got to get some of this blubber off me. You know, when you get to the point where you call it blubber, I said, I've just got to get some of this blubber off me. Now, she had been telling me all that time. She said, Tom, it's not how much you eat so much as it is what you eat. I said, shut up. I don't want to hear that. I love ice cream. And I love bread. Do you like bread? I love bread. I love starch. You know, I love carbs and all these things. I love all these things. And she would say, if you would just change what you eat. And I just didn't want to hear it. I didn't really tell her, shut up. But I did, you know, I just kind of blew it. Well, yeah, you're probably right. Goodbye. And you walk away. But sooner or later, all of us hit that point of decision, don't we? I finally went back to my wife and I said, Vaughn, I just need to turn this over to you. You fix it, I'll eat it. I've just got to do something here. I'm waddling everywhere I go. I would wear this same jacket right here and it would do this in the back. Anybody feeling my pain? I've got to do something, Lord. Help me. So I went to him and I said, please, just take charge of this and change this for me. Please do it. I couldn't do it myself. I'd tried several times to slow down my eating. You know how that works. And I said, please, just take care of it, Bon. And so she would prepare this food, and I would eat it. Now, if you're used to a lot of carbs and you go to a lot of protein and a lot of veggies and all that kind of stuff, you think, boy, this is just not good. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to take my medicine, but this is just not good. And so you have that for a while. And so anyway, but I ate it for a while, and I did notice, hey, I'm getting plenty to eat here. It's not exactly what I want, but I'm getting plenty to eat. And so time passed, and I noticed the weight began to drop off. And so anyway, I stand here before you today about over 25 pounds lighter than I was maybe 6 months ago. Now, the reason for that is not because of my own self-discipline. That is non-existent. But the thing that changed was that I turned it over to somebody who knew more than I did about it, who knew exactly what I needed to do, and had the ability to fix it, fix the food that needed to be fixed. Beloved, let me tell you something. There's a spiritual application to that. We as believers need to turn the spiritual fat that is in our life over to someone who knows how to get rid of it. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you to get rid of all those sins that you've always thought, well, you know I need to stop this. This is making me very uncomfortable. This is spiritual blubber is what this is. It's hindering me. It's making other parts of me not work as well. I need to do this. I need to turn this over. And the Holy Spirit is there. He says, if you will let me have this, if you will let me control this, if you will surrender control over it, I will get rid of that for you. Beloved, if we will ever learn to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will change us. And what does the Bible say happens when you let God change you? When you get to the point where God has cleansed you and taken those sins out of your life, the Bible says you have what is called clean hands. Clean hands. What does the Bible say about clean hands? Look in your Bible, if you will, there, and I want to show you a very wonderful verse. Look at Job chapter 17 and verse 9. Job chapter 17 and verse 9. The second area that you need to learn to hear and listen to and obey the voice of the Spirit is in the sanctification of your life. That's what we're talking about. Job 17 and verse 9 says this, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be," what? "Stronger and stronger." The cleaner your hands get, the stronger and stronger you get. Now, beloved, can I tell you something? You are just one decision away from becoming a powerhouse for God. And that one decision is to turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit and let Him exercise His ministry in your life. And if you will do that, you will become a powerhouse for God who is stronger and stronger. But as long as you or I run our own stuff, we will be just like me trying to lose weight by cutting back a little bit. It will never work. You have to turn it over to someone else. And that someone else is the Holy Spirit. So we listen to the Lord and we obey the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide us. Secondly, we obey Him in sanctification. And thirdly, we obey Him in worship. We obey the Lord in worship. Now, you know that we have just finished up the big tent meeting out in Statham. And I know the question that was on a lot of your minds. You were thinking, "Pastor, what do you think of all of that stuff they do out there at the tent meeting? Those other Christians do. What do you think about all that hand-raising? You know, what do you think about all that? What do you think about all that, you know, jumping up? And what do you think about all that?" Well, I'll tell you what I think about it. Look in your Bible, if you will, at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at verse 6, if you will. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen." What does it say? "With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." That's what I think about it. I found out a long time ago, when you find the answer in the Bible, that's what you think about it. My opinion is what Scripture says about something. And I find abundant evidence in Scripture that these things, the lifting up of the hands, is something that God blesses. Now, I have to tell you that it took me a long time to ever admit that. The reason was that back in the 70s, when I first started my ministry, in late 60s, there was this group of people called the Charismatics. And the Charismatics repopularized the lifting up of the hands. It was something that was practiced by the Jewish people. It was something that was done in the early church, but it was something that for some reason or another got totally phased out of the modern church by the 20th century, with the exception of those charismatics. Well, they had a lot of bad doctrine, serious doctrinal error, and they had a whole lot of other excesses. And because of those things, those of us who were fundamentalists reacted to everything that they did. That was a mistake. What you find out is that every movement that succeeds in Christianity succeeds because it has discovered a nugget of truth that's been forgotten, or maybe two nuggets of truth. And those folks had, as I see it, two nuggets of truth. Number one, they rediscovered praise to God. They relearned how to praise God. Now, those of you who've read the Bible through at least one time, is there any praise in the Bible? Of course there is. Those of you who've read the Bible through at least one time, is there any worship in the Bible? Of course there is. And so those folks kind of rediscovered that. See, we fundamentalists, we were all about winning souls. We were all about witnessing. We were all about defending the veracity of Scripture. And God bless that. But they had something also. Now, the fact that their doctrine was bad in other areas didn't change the fact that they were right about the worship. Now, I say, though, that it was hard. It took me years to where I would ever admit that it was okay to raise your hands. In fact, I remember mocking those folks who did it. I really did. I'd say, look at that guy over there. He's got his antenna up. You know, guy has his hand right. Look at that guy's got his antenna up. And then I'd say, oh, there's the one's got two antennas, double antenna. That's nice. And I just kind of mocked them because I identified them with the bad doctrine that was there. But I had a problem with that. And the problem was that when I would be in reading my Bible all by myself and worshiping the Lord, I would feel this compulsion to raise my hand. But I would blow it off, say, I can't do that. It's a charismatic thing. Or I would be even in this church right here, and we would be singing some of the great songs of Zion, and I'd go, just kind of wanted to do that. It was just a compulsion that was within me, but I didn't feel like... So finally, though, the Holy Spirit has a way of getting through to you eventually, doesn't He? And usually He does that when there's an intersection of what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you in the Bible. And one day I ran into this intersection of the Bible and what the Holy Spirit was trying to say, and I realized that it was of the Lord. Okay, now, someone might say, well, Pastor, why didn't you just believe the Holy Spirit? Does that sound like a pretty good question or what? Why didn't you just believe the Holy Spirit? Well, there's also a pretty good answer to it. If you will, in your Bible, look over to, where is that? I've got 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Why didn't you just believe the Holy Spirit? 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse 1. It says, Beloved, what does it say? Believe not every spirit. Now, you go on here, and he says, But try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, clearly, when you read the rest of that verse, he's talking about false prophets, but the principle is very powerful. And that principle is that just like there is a Holy Spirit out there who is trying to talk to you, there are also these other spirits who are dark spirits who motivate the false prophets. So when you hear a voice in your head, the first thing to do is to determine whether or not that is the Holy Spirit or whether that is some unclean spirit trying to talk to you. You say, how do I do that? Well, you better be mighty sure, had you not? Before you don't just obey a voice in your head. Don't just obey a compulsion or an inclination that you have. But rather, Scripture says very clearly, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Now you say, how do I go about trying the spirits? Well, what you do is you take your Bible and you open up that Bible. And you say, God, What do you have to say about this? And when you find an intersection, a junction between what God says and what that spirit within you is saying, and they are saying the same thing, then you know that is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Now, I must confess that you get to a point where you have discernment and you can tell who's talking to you before you even find it in Scripture. But always check it out by Scripture and you will always know what God is doing. Now, someone says, well, I know what the Bible says, but I know what God told me in my heart. And what they say God is telling them in their heart is different from what the Bible says. I used an illustration not that long ago about this young lady who says, I'm going to marry this guy. I love him. And God has told me in my heart that it's the right thing to do. Wait a minute now. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Is he a Christian? No, he's not a Christian. You know that the Bible says to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So the Bible says that you're not supposed to be yoked up with somebody who's not a believer in marriage or, for that matter, anything else. And so you're saying that the Holy Spirit told you one thing in your heart and the Bible says something else. Something's wrong here. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is God and the Bible is the Word of God. They never disagree. They have one mind and one heart and one soul. So anytime someone says, God told me to do something that is against the Bible, you can mark it down. The Spirit that they've been listening to is not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does not contradict the Word. He never, ever does that. You listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your worship and your praise and your prayer life. You listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And not just in the worship, but also you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey it in testimony. Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But you know what people say at that point? People say, well, I wouldn't know what to say. I just wouldn't know what to say. Well, I bet when you say that, God is up there saying, oh, I never thought of that. Oh, I never thought of that. Oh, what is he going to say? Let me tell you something. Scripture also says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Just open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I can guarantee you something. If you will take care of the willingness part of this, if you'll take care of the obey part of this, God will take care of the what you say part of it. You will be amazed at what you will say. It's like those moments that God told the apostles about. He said, they're going to take you enmity before these rulers, before these folks. And you're going to say, oh, what am I going to say? God says, don't you even worry about that. He said, when that time comes, he said, I'm going to fill your mouth with what you're supposed to say. I've seen people sit there and just squirm. Now, do you know, let me ask you, those of you who've been in these testimony times, do you know when you're supposed to stand up? Linda, I've just laughed all week long about you standing up in that service. Last Sunday morning, one of the quietest women in this church stood up in the middle while I was preaching to give a testimony. She interrupted me. Linda, you interrupted me. I still marvel at that. Now, would you say, those of you who've known Linda for years, would you say that in order for her to get up, she had to know that that was the thing to do? No doubt about it. Was it the thing to do? Did it work out pretty good? So she did pretty good by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. That service just ignited. It just exploded because somebody obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit and testified and confessed Christ and did what she was supposed to do the moment. Linda, I'm right. You knew you were supposed to do that, right? You couldn't sit there. So the Holy Spirit was just had this driving compulsion. You had to do it. How about that? So, beloved, why is it then we see how that works out? Why is it that we'll go home and all the way home we're just I should have stood up. I knew I was supposed to say. You know, I wonder how many services would explode into life if someone would obey the Holy Spirit. I just wonder how many. Now, you say, aren't you afraid of that? Well, a little bit. Because I know that there's more than one spirit out there. But can I tell you something? That is when I'm going to earn my money. Because it's my job, and the people that the Bible calls the elders in every church, it's our job to discern the spirit and see what is of the Lord and what's not of the Lord. If anything ever happened that was not of the Lord, I think we'd know. I think the Lord would tell us that. But I'm not so afraid of it that I don't want it to happen. Last week, I began talking to you about some things that happened in the Welsh Revival. A lot of people think that in that Welsh Revival where, what was it? Good grief. I think 100,000 people, I may have the figure wrong, were added to the church in Wales. Did you know that in that there was a minimum of preaching? Most of those revival services were people sharing testimonies, just standing up at random, speaking. The singing would be, somebody would just start a hymn and they'd begin to sing it. And the services were not orchestrated at all, except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just did it. And that was what God used at that moment. Now, in some other revivals, there's been a lot of preaching. There was a blessing to that. For about 2 years there, that thing went on. It was like fire. And it spread like crazy. It was a wonderful thing. The problem was that it was conducted by young people. And so when some of the eras began to come into it, they really didn't know what to do. They were not prepared for that. And so the eras came in, and no one rebuked the era. And so as a result of that, Satan got in and kind of killed the revival. But it went on for about 2 years. You know, beloved, that is a real thing, testimony there. You say, well, maybe we shouldn't turn things over to the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll take the 100,000 souls myself. You know, and then we'll worry about the errors when that happens, won't we? All right. So, beloved, we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in testimony and in soul winning, in witnessing. Witnessing becomes a whole lot simpler when you just turn it over to the Lord. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are failed witnesses? You say, I want to do that so bad. There was a time when I was just so stirred up about that. I want to be a witness so badly, but I'm failed at it. Well, the answer is all of us at one time or another, at least, if not continually, have failed as witnesses. But I'll tell you something. It is a whole lot easier when you just say, Holy Spirit, lead me. You lead, and I will obey. One of the preachers at the tent meeting shared a story with me. He said, I'd been burdened for this man who's lost. He said he'd been to church several times, but he'd not made any decision to trust Christ. He said, I was burdened for him. And so he said, one night, the burden just got so heavy. He said, it wasn't a visitation night. In fact, it was an odd, off night. And he said, but the burden increased. He said, about 9:15, I just became so burdened for that man, I couldn't, and I just felt like I ought to go see him. He said, but Lord, it's 9:15. This is a work night. I can't go over there. He said, I argued with the Lord till about 9:45. And God just kept saying, are you going to obey or are you going to disobey? He said, finally, I said, okay, I'll go. 9:45, but I'm going to go. He said, I knocked on that man's door at about 10 o'clock that night. He said, I felt so funny. All I knew is that I had obeyed God. He said, I knocked on his door. He said, what made it harder? He said, there was only one light on in the house. It was back in the master bedroom, just one little small lamp light back there, and every other light in the house was off. Is that intimidating or what? And so he said, there's only one light on. I knocked on the door. And he said, finally, after a while, he said, I heard heavy footsteps come up to the door. And he said, the man opened the door. He was in his pajamas. He looked at him. He said, you know, so-and-so. He said, I just felt like I ought to come to see you, but I see that you're already in bed there. He said, do I need to come back some other time? And the man said, oh, no, preacher. He said, please come in. He said, I don't know where I stand with God. He said, it's just been eating me up. He said, I can't believe you're here at this time of night. Preacher, please come on in. He said he led the man to Christ that night. Why? Because he obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, how would it revolutionize your life? What joy and success and blessing would it bring into your life? How much ugly spiritual fat would it take out of your life if you would just make the decision right here today to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit? What would it do? How many services would you ignite? How many souls would you win? How many testimonies could you give of the victory that God gave you over sin? What would it do in your life? Would you move from a 90-pound spiritual weakling to mighty powerhouse for God if you were to let the Holy Spirit discipline by Scripture have control of your life? What would it do in your life? I challenge you in Jesus' name today to let the Comforter comfort in your life, to decide, I'm going to get rid of all this spiritual blubber. I'm going to let somebody else take charge of it as of right now. You say, how do I do it? You do it by a decision of your will. You say, God, that's what I want. I want the Spirit to control me 24 hours a day. It will make a difference in your life. I want you to know, I've had at least a 24-hour battle with Satan prior to coming here and preaching this message. I felt so bad. I was sick Wednesday. I'm trying to let y'all know. And Thursday and Friday, I didn't even come in the office. Saturday, I was sick all day. I woke up this morning sick, fighting it. Not only that, but I woke up this morning just down. It seemed like all the problems of the world were on my shoulders. But about 9:30 this morning, it was like the Holy Spirit broke through. And the Holy Spirit said, you know why He doesn't want you to preach this message? You know why He's fighting so hard? He can read your notes just like you can. He knows what you're going to preach. He knows the power to change people that there is in the simple truth of obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. I ask you again, in Jesus' name, will you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit? Will you say, God, I've diddled around too long. I've fiddled around too long. I'm ready to let you change me. Holy Spirit, welcome. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Come in. Take charge of my life. Take charge of me. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Come. Would you bow your heads just a moment?